My name is Eugene Holm, and I was born in Watertown, South Dakota. My parents were Edwin and Clara Holm, and we lived at Bruce, South Dakota. And I spent the first 11 years of my life there. And then in 1933, my father was a rural mail carrier, and he was transferred to Tulare, South Dakota. And then I went to school, graduated from Tulare High School, and I attended Augustana College in Sioux Falls for 2 years, and then went into the military. And when I came back, I spent one semester at the University of South Dakota. And then I came home, and my father was ill, so I started carrying mail, and I spent 46 years carrying mail.
That's terrific. Were you drafted?
I was drafted, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what branch of the service were you drafted into?
I was drafted into the Air Corps. I was inducted at Fort Snelling, Minnesota, and we were sent to Lincoln Air Base, and then I took my basic training there. We were given it. Of course, the Army gives you a test when you enter. So we had a choice. After basic was over, we had a choice of going to OCS or to the ASTP program. So I chose that, and I went to University of Wyoming. And it was an accelerated program. You were supposed to get a degree in engineering plus a commission. So we went there in October from Lincoln, Nebraska. And after 6 months, the program folded. Yeah, they didn't need any more engineers. They needed foot soldiers. Mm-hmm. So we all ended up, practically everybody ended up in the infantry. So then I was sent to Camp Robinson at Little Rock, Arkansas, and I joined the 66th Infantry Division there, 263rd Infantry. And then we again took basic training, and in the September of 1944, I was shipped overseas as a replacement. So then there was five of us that went over together from the 66th Infantry Division. And we went to Boston and shipped to Liverpool, London, and then across England down to Southampton. And from there we went to, embarked at Omaha Beach. Now Omaha Beach was secured by this time, so there was no fighting there. And then we were in northern France for a while, did a little training, and then we moved to farther east to Lunéville. I joined the 44th Infantry Division at Lunéville, France, and went on the front lines in October. And I was a member of F Company of the 71st Infantry Regiment, and we fought then, and we were connected to the 7th Army. We were in the Vosges Mountains in Alsace, and so I fought. I was with them, and I was in the mortar platoon, 60-millimeter mortars, I believe. And then we were in a big push in early November, and on January 3rd, I was wounded. So then I was left the front lines, was in the hospital at Epinal, France, and then by that we went by hospital train to Paris, and then we flew to England, to Bournemouth, England, to a hospital there.
What were the extent of your injuries?
Well, I just had some fragments of a shell, you know, and had some splinters, and it was no permanent, wasn't too bad, but we went clear back to England. And then we were there till April. And then I went back to France, but I joined the 43rd General Hospital at Aix-en-Provence, France, in the southern part. And so then I worked there in the receiving office for quite a while. And then we were scheduled to go to Japan. So we had all our equipment, everything, on the docks at Marseille, ready to go to the Pacific. But, of course, the war in Europe ended in August, and then they dropped the bomb on in Japan, and so then we would all been in staging areas. Well, then Truman wanted to get the High Point men home, so we had to move out of the staging area and they sent us back to the United States. So I was overseas for 1 year. So I got a break. I came home with this hospital that had been there for quite a while.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's a general of where I belonged and yeah.
Any special stories of some of the people that you fought with?
Well, we went overseas. There were 5 replacements, and Freddie Wheaton from New Jersey. Freddie was killed overseas. Bill Quinn, and he went to the 45th Division. We split up. One boy stayed with the 71st, but a different company. And Bill Quinn, I met him. He was guarding a Bailey Bridge one night as we went over, moving up. And so we got a chance to greet each other. And then there was Robert L. Switzenberg from Bismarck, North Dakota. And he was captured very early. He was with the 79th Division, and he was captured very early. And then Norman Kilburn from West Union, Iowa. And he and I met on the front lines overseas. We were in the midst of battle, and he had lost most of his company, and he was sitting, there was an old French military school, and he was down in the basement. Now, for some reason, I walked around, because we'd been shelled, and so I walked down there, and here he was sitting with his head in his hands. He'd lost most of the men in his group. So, and then
he must have been very excited to see you.
Oh yes, yeah, yeah. And of course, since the war, I've seen all of them. But Bill Quinn had problems from the war and ended up committing suicide. And now Norman Kilburn health is bad, but Switzenberg lives at Bismarck, and I talk to him every once in a while. Mm-hmm. He came to my hometown, he and his wife, to see my wife and I. We'd had a car accident in 1987, so he and his wife Mary came and visited us. Yeah, so that's pretty much, you know.
Going back to when you came back from war after being over in France for a year, what was it like coming home? Was there a party with your family? Were they?
Well, when I came back from, we came back to Boston, and then we went by train through Pittsburgh and to Minneapolis. When I got to Minneapolis, I got on the train, and there was one of my closest buddies from my hometown was just coming home from overseas. And he and I had gone to Fort Snelling in this group of Tulare people, Spring County people from South Dakota. And there he was sitting.
A year later.
Yep. Well, this was 3 years later.
Oh, sure.
3 years later, yeah. 3 years later. I hadn't seen him since then.
True.
So, but the experience at Wyoming was very good. I mean, it was nice, you know, to go to college, and coming home, it was pretty low-key, really, because, see, after I came back to the States, I came home on a furlough, and then I had to go back to Camp McCoy, Wisconsin, because I didn't have enough points to get out. But then by January 1st of 46, then I did have enough. Then I was discharged on January 1st of 1946, so I worked over there at Camp McCoy, Wisconsin. But, Some of the High Point men were home. They had been home for a while. So, of course, it was great to see my family and to have one sister, to see her. And it was kind of low-key. I did have a college friend who he and I were roommates at Augustana, and he was teaching at Chaska, Minnesota. So I stopped to see him on the way home and back to Tulare.
Yeah. So you said once you got back home, you went back to college?
I went to the University of South Dakota for one semester. And then my father became ill, and my sister was in college, so I decided that she should finish up. She was closer to finishing, so I told she should do that, and I stayed home. Well, then I got involved in a temporary appointment as a rural mail carrier, and so I decided I'll just stay with that. So I spent the next 46 years of my life being a Royal Mail carrier.
That's terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
46
years? We had one very wild experience, I guess. On New Year's Eve, the Germans were pretty intoxicated, and they attacked us. And we didn't have any automatic weapons in the mortar squad, so everybody was quiet. There was Germans all around us talking German. I've never heard so much German in my life.
That must have been
and I
scary.
Come from a German community. But so it was, you know, that was quite quite exciting. We kept quiet, and finally they turned around and went back. And so we, and I don't think anybody was captured, but we could have been. Yeah.
That's scary. Any final thoughts about serving your country in World War II?
Well, it's, I've heard many of them say it's an experience that you wouldn't take $1 million for, but you'd hate to do it again. And then I've heard other guys say that. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was a good feeling to know you'd been there and did a little bit, but of course it was great to get out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was great to get out, yeah.
What do you think about the war that we're fighting now in Afghanistan, the war on terror? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a, I think it's an endless problem. I'm a little concerned that, I mean, I think something had to be done. Mm-hmm. I feel that way. And I hope it's successful, but I've just finished reading a book about Hitler, and if you stop to think of the millions of lives that were lost because of this one man, it's frightening. And I'm just concerned that that Afghanistan will lead to Iran or Philippines or Iraq or whatever, so I hope that's not the case. I hope to, I don't know, I think there are so many of them that are involved that if you get, even if you catch, find bin Laden, that there are others that will step in his place.
Oh, absolutely.
That's,
yeah.
That's my opinion, feelings, yeah. Yep.
Any special thoughts, any special stories you want to end with?
Well, in September, this was after the destruction in New York City, the towers. South Dakota honored World War II veterans, and it was a tremendous day. And it was a very, very proud moment for us. We rode on a float, and people were standing up thanking us, young people. Mm-hmm. It was very, very emotional. And there was an old sergeant with us from our town. And he had gone from Africa to Sicily to Italy to France, ended up in Germany, and he thought it was the greatest day of his life. So it was really very nice. And of course, South Dakota had the 68,000 veterans in South Dakota. And based on our population, it was the highest percentage of people, and there were 1,600 killed.
Interesting.
Yeah, 1,600. And they set off 68,000 balloons that day to honor the,
sure,
all those who had served. There were 40 bands in this parade, and it was 4 miles long. It was a wonderful day. It was a wonderful day.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
How many veterans do you think were on the float that you were on?
Well, they were all from our village. And we had, I suppose we had probably 10. Some of them had moved, you know, were living in Rapid City or something, and they got on the float with us. Yeah, we had about 10. But then we also had the auxiliary lady, a school teacher. She's the one who organized it. So there were many auxiliary members. They all had made red blouses or jackets, you know. And then we all sang "God Bless America" as we went down the parade route. So it was a great day. And then the governor of South Dakota spoke in the afternoon, and they said about 25,000 people were there.
What a wonderful
day. So it was a wonderful day. It really was.
Great memories.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
Mr. Holm, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, I would like to be remembered as having served my country. I was a church organist for 35 years. I'd kind of like to be remembered that way.
Awesome.
And I guess just as a normal, maybe stable citizen of Tulare, South Dakota. That's about all. Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr.
You're very welcome.